chapter 4.
Let's turn our Bibles to 1 John chapter 4.
We're with you, bro.
1 John chapter 4. I'm going to be reading from verse 16 to verse 18.
Come on, bro.
You know, this was my quiet time this morning. Okay. So I thought, hey, who best to share it with? Mm-hmm. But my brothers and sisters. First John chapter 4 from verse 16 to verse 18. What does it say? It says, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. That's crazy. It says, whoever lives in love lives in God. Right? Which means if God is love and you live in love, that means you live in God.
Wow.
Right? And this is not a love of like, oh my goodness, oh, you know, googly googly eyes, I'm always dreaming about her or dreaming that's about him. Love. No, that's not even love.
Hey,
that's not even love. It says here that God is love. Right? Whoever lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. Please, can we silence our phones? That would be very helpful. There's a silence function on the phones. Let's be sure to use it, please. Thank you. This is how love is made complete amongst us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Right? So what does that mean? Well, what right here, it says perfect love drives out fear. Right? Now, Webster's Dictionary defines fear as a painful emotion or passion. Now, people always think passion is like, ah, man, passionate is this what you see on TV. Now, passion actually means suffering. Passion actually means, that's what it means. It means suffering. Right? But of course, the word has done a good job of just, you know, remixing it.
That's right.
Okay. Webster's Dictionary defines fear as a painful emotion or passion excited by the expectation of evil or the apprehension of impending danger.
Okay.
So when you know when there's danger coming, you feel apprehensive. You know, a good example is when you have done wrong. When you were younger, and your mom tells you, you wait till your daddy comes back. Or, wait till I get home. Those two sentences, wait till daddy comes back, or wait till I get home. You know, I feel like Japheth just had a flashback. just had a flashback. You know? But that's that feeling you feel, that's apprehension. You know, fear is defined as apprehension, as anxiety, as alarm, as dread. Not dreadlocks, dread. All right? Now, the truth is, it was never God's will for us to be fearful. He never created us to be fearful. All right? But it's the presence of sin that brought about fear.
Yes.
All right? You can write the scripture down in Genesis 3, verse 10. Genesis 3, verse 10, when God came into the garden after Adam and Eve had eaten the apple. After they had eaten the apple and they saw that they were naked. And God said, hey, Adam, Eve, Adam, where are you? Doesn't even ask for Eve. Adam, where are you? I was like, you know, I saw that I was naked, so I covered myself up. He said, how did you know you were naked? I didn't tell you were naked. So how did you know you were naked? Right? And then he says in verse 10 that he answered, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid.
Wow.
And then God answered, how did you know you were naked? But that's still the case today as well too. It's when there is sin present that will become fearful. And that's why it says perfect love drives out fear. Now fear is common to us all. Even the most faithful of believers. An example is Elijah. Right? Elijah defeats the 450 prophets of Baal. One man against 450. slaughter them all. But then Jezebel starts to threaten him. You wait, let me see you. I'll do to you what you did to the prophets of Baal. And then he gets afraid. Mm. That's such a great victory. The same Elijah that called down fire from heaven, consumed the sacrifice. Say, hey, do not let those prophets escape. Slaughter them. And what he did was in accordance with the law.
Yeah.
What Moses wrote down in Deuteronomy. Said, you see a false prophet. You grab them and you cut them down. The same way you cut a tree down, you cut down the false prophets. And that's what he did. But then fear consumed him because of Jezebel's threats. It didn't matter that God had given him a great victory. You see, but that's what fear does, right? When fear takes root in us, it can make us give into panic. It can paralyze us. It can make us inactive. It can make us negative. What does fear make you do? What does fear make you do? Does it, does it paralyze you? Or maybe it makes you negative? Maybe it makes you depressed or hungry. Maybe it makes you anxious. What does fear make you do? You see, this is why John said in 1 John 4 that we just read. He said, perfect love drives out fear. Which means if fear is present, love is absent. Because if perfect love drives out fear, that means if there's fear present, that means love is not there. So when we allow fear to rule us, then we forget about love. Which means we forget about God. Because God is love.
Wow.
That's true.
Remember.
Wow.
That's what happens when fear rules us. We forget about love. Which ultimately means we forget about God. Because if God is love, and perfect love drives out fear, that means if fear is present, love is absent. If love is absent, ultimately God is absent. Not because he does not want to be there, but because we have driven him out. You see, sadly, we can allow fear to consume us so much that we'll begin to question if our relationship with God truly matters. Instead of asking, like, what's the point? And sometimes, we even allow fear to win. We allow it to defeat us, which means fear wins. So the title of my lesson tonight is very simple. Simple. What is the title? When Fear Wins.
Come on, bro.
When Fear Wins. I have three quick points for us. Just three quick points. I don't intend to keep you here on stage. Three quick points. Point number one is in Hebrews chapter 6.
Let's go, bro.
Hebrews chapter 6.
Come on, bro.
Point number one, when fear wins, remember God's promises. When fear wins, remember God's promises.
Wow.
Hebrews chapter 6 from verse 13. You know, using the NIV, you see the title of it there. In the NIV, it says the certainty of God's promise. There's no certainty with it. Hebrews 6 from verse 13. It says, when God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so, after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. People swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all arguments. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. That's crazy. He said, God wanted to make it clear that I do not change. I don't say one thing today and say something else tomorrow. So I want you to be clear that those of you that I've made a promise to, I will hold to my promise. So what does he confirm with an oath? In verse 18, it says, God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, We who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner, Jesus, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. You see, when a situation produces fear in us, we naturally begin to wonder and ask questions. What's happening now? Why has this thing not changed? Oh my goodness. But I prayed and I even fasted. And then I even went to my discipler, and they also prayed as well too. And they said they have been praying and they've been asking, but nothing has changed, nothing has happened. You know, is God even there? You start to ask questions. I think the only important question to ask yourself in that situation is God a liar?
Great point. Come on.
Does God lie? If you can answer that question, if your answer is anything other than a yes, sorry, if your answer is anything other than a no, then you're in big trouble. That's the question you should ask yourself. Is God a liar? Because the Bible here tells us that it is impossible for God to lie. And that's the truth. Right? Now, let me ask you, what is one promise in the Bible that God did not fulfill? Name me one. You might say, well, I don't know the Bible as well as you, Tolani, so maybe it is there, I've not just found it. But I Google it then. What is one promise in the Bible that God has not fulfilled? You see, fear does not have the power to change God's word.
It's true.
It only has the power to hold you back from obeying God's word.
Sure.
So the question is, will you allow fear to control you? You see, it's always very convicting that when we become afraid, the fear we feel never drives us away from sin.
That's very true.
That's so true.
When we become afraid, that fear doesn't drive us away from sin. No. Sin now becomes even ultra accessible. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, this of course makes sense, because as fear drives us away from God, it has to be driving us somewhere. If it drives us away from God, it doesn't just drive us into complete emptiness, endless road. Life is a highway, I want to ride it all night long. Excuse you.
Try.
You have to take that back. He's talking about himself. Anyways, as fear drives us away from God, it drives us towards sin. This is why in Exodus 20, verse 20, Moses says to the people, he says, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning." Exodus 20:20. It makes it very clear there. It is the fear of God that keeps us from sin. Not the fear of the future, or the fear of the past, or the fear of a situation.
Sure.
So Exodus 20 says, this is that God has come to test you. Will you hold on to his fear of him, or will the fear of the situation be greater? So my question to you is, will you pass God's test? It's easy to hold on to doubt. Very easy. It doesn't cost anything at all to hold on to doubt. You want to doubt, it's there like that, immediately. So will you go after what is easy? Or will you go after what is certain? Which is God's promise.
Come on.
In Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Hebrews 13, verse 5. What does it say here? It says, keep your lives free from the love of money. You should still be in Hebrews. Hebrews 13, verse 5. I haven't asked you to flip anywhere else. You should still be in Hebrews.
I'm with you, bro.
Hebrews 13, verse 5. It says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. God reiterates what he told Moses to tell Joshua in Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. But the same way God told Joshua this, how many years ago? Thousands of years ago. This same promise, we have that today. But the question is, will you choose to believe it or will you choose to neglect it? You see, when we feel like fear is winning, we need to remember God's promises. We need to remember his word and we need to be reassured of his love.
Amen.
Then fear will be defeated. Amen?
Amen?
Let's move on to point number two.
Come on.
Point number two, Colossians chapter 1. Point number two, Colossians chapter 1. My second point is simply, when fear wins, remember Jesus is Lord of all. When fear wins, remember Jesus is Lord of all. You know, it's very easy to say Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord! Woo! Yeah. But when the time comes to make him truly Lord, is that what we do? Colossians 1. Alright? Colossians 1 from verse 15. Colossians 1 from verse 15. It says, the Son is the image of the invisible God. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. Now this is fantastic. It said things in heaven were created in him. So whether it's celestial bodies, the stars were created in him, the moon were created in him, there's an eclipse was created in him. On earth, yeah. Oh, the trees created in him. The sky is created in him. The rains created in him.
Come on.
And but we are flooded. This. Why is God allowing to flood? Well, did the government put in good drainage systems?
Talk about it.
Call it out, bro.
Oh, you were called out.
Sorry.
You know, it says they're visible. Everything I can see. The highway, the expressway in him. This tall building in him. KICC, Kenyatta International Conference Center in him. And it says things invisible as well too. The air I breathe. Yes, in him. You know, people will say, oh, we're saved by grace, And I tell them, you don't realize the number of people that are living under God's grace. The fool who opens his mouth and says there is no God, he's living under God's grace. He's breathing the air that God allows him to breathe in. And God is looking at him like this. Because God knows, I don't exist. And that will be that. Well, he continues on here. He says, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. That's at the end of verse 16. That's all things. All things. So which is there anything that doesn't belong to God?
No.
And there we see. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross.
Wow.
You see, it's easy for us to say Jesus is Lord. But do we really make Jesus Lord of everything in our lives? If Jesus is Lord of our emotions, then why do we allow our fear to get the best of us, the better of us?
Come on.
If Jesus is Lord of our lives, then do we surrender our life to him when we are afraid? No, you don't. You keep that life in your hands. Almost like you have the power that he has.
Richard.
You see, one of the problems with Christianity today, or so-called Christianity today, is hypocrisy.
Yeah.
People claiming to be one thing while they are something else. That's one of the problems with so-called Christianity today. The mainstream Christianity. You know, people don't practice what they preach. You see, we cannot afford to be hypocrites.
Uh-huh.
There's too much at stake.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, is Jesus truly Lord of all? Matthew chapter 8. You know, is Jesus truly Lord of all? This was a lesson that Jesus had to repeatedly drum into the heads of his disciples. So if they didn't get it, well, you better be sure that also we too will struggle to get it. Matthew 8, verse 23. Matthew chapter 8, from verse 23. It says, then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us! We are going to drown! He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. You see, when we allow fear win, it reveals the absence of our faith, which means we need to go and refill our faith. I always like this story because I'm like, man, there's a storm. That means the boat is going toosh, toosh, toosh. And they're like, hey, this is the end of us. We just started following this man. Where is he? Who has seen Jesus? Isn't he the Messiah? Somebody said, oh, I saw him sleeping downstairs. I'm sure they went there. Now, this is my own thoughts. I don't want to believe they woke Jesus up like this. Hey, Jesus. When the boat is going toosh, toosh. I don't believe they went like, sorry, Jesus. Sorry to disturb you. If you read what they said there, what they said had exclamation marks. He said, Lord, save us. I don't believe. I like to imagine situations. I'm like, I don't think they were gentle with Jesus in that moment. They probably grabbed him by his cloth and pulled him very well. You know, they probably went,
Oh God.
How can you be sleeping in this storm? They're probably they're probably not gentle with Jesus.
Come on, bro.
You know, maybe one of them even kicked him. Like I said, maybe. Don't go and say my pastor said that they kicked Jesus.
Hey,
please. But I want to, because think about it. If you're in that kind of situation, even when someone is coming, maybe you hear that they are robbers and they've come into the compound. And then you have some, maybe your brother or your child or your spouse is sleeping. You'll be like, hey, baby.
Uh-huh.
No. Hey, my older sister. Hi. Sorry. But I just want to let you know there are robbers in the house. We need to, in the compound, we need to leave now. You know, even the first way your hand will land on them, the way they will wake up, they will know that somebody touched them. I feel that was the kind of, I don't know what you guys think, but that was why they woke him up.
Yeah, bro.
You know?
Let's go, bro.
So definitely. But like I said, when we allow fear to win, it reveals the absence of our faith. Which means we need to go and refill ourselves up. But how do we do that? Well, of course, Romans 10 verse 17 tells us. You don't have to turn there, just write it down. Romans 10 verse 17. It says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. So you see fear, that means you're missing faith. If you're going to get faith, you have to get it from God's word.
Yeah.
You have to be reminded that Jesus is Lord, even in that circumstance or in that situation. You see, Jesus' disciples panicked in the storm. but Jesus slept. His disciples resorted to violence when he was about to be arrested. Peter brought out his sword. Exactly. Just that, I think the high priest servant was sharp on his feet. So the air just... But yeah, actually, Peter was probably aiming for his head. Yeah, he was probably aiming for his head. And the guy just went, Then the sword just went and took the ear off. So his disciples resorted to violence when he was about to be arrested. But what does Jesus do? Jesus touches the ear of the high priest servant and he heals him. So in those situations, it's evident what controlled Jesus' disciples and what controlled Jesus. What do you think controlled his disciples?
Fear.
What do you think controlled Jesus?
Faith.
So will you allow your fear win, or will you allow your faith shine?
Come on, bro.
You know, Matthew 28, we know this very well. Matthew 28, from verse 18 to 20. Matthew 28, from verse 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age." You see, Jesus still has that same authority today, in heaven and on earth. And if your house is on earth, Jesus has authority in that house as well too. Unless you start working in Mars. If your house, or if your office, or if your school is on earth, that authority applies there as well too. So which means he still expects us to hold to the Great Commission, which is given to each and every one of his disciples. You see, our fear wants to stop us from fulfilling Jesus' dream, but he wants us to remember that he is still in control and that he is always with us. Amen?
Amen.
Last and final point.
Let's go, bro.
Last and final point. Bro. You know, when fear wins, remember you still have the Holy Spirit. When fear wins, remember you still have the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Now, this is midweek. Midweek is meat and potatoes. It's not milk. When fear wins, remember that you still have the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, from verse 5. It says, "Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ." This is one of those scriptures that even helps us understand the Trinity. He uses the Spirit of God and Spirit of Christ interchangeably. And it's the same Holy Spirit. So if that Spirit is the Spirit of God, but also it's also the Spirit of Christ, and of course you can understand the Holy Spirit is together with Jesus and God. But people that want to fight it, no. But anyways, you see, when we repented of our sinful life and got baptized for forgiveness of our sins, we received the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us to submit to God's law so that we can live a righteous life. The Holy Spirit wants us to receive the benefits of living according to God's word. And according to the scripture, that is life and peace. But what peace do you feel when you give in to fear? You know, it's like a saying that we have back home where I'm from, personally my tribe. I'll say it in English, but it's written in my native tongue. It says, "A chicken that lands on a line, that chicken will not rest, and the line will not rest." If a bird lands on a line, on a clothing line where you hang your clothes, or a chicken, it lands on there, it will shake the rope. So the chicken is off balance, and the rope is off balance. My native tongue, it says, Adieba lori okun, ara orokun, ara ready here.
You want to lose your teeth?
Right? Fear does not bring peace. If anything, it brings the opposite. You know, in Ephesians chapter 4, bringing it for a close
Let's
here.
Let's go, bro.
In Ephesians chapter 4, trying to get out of here early. We didn't start early, so ends the time. Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 29. Ephesians 4 from verse 29. What does it say? It says, do not let any unwholesome talk. Ephesians 4 from verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up, according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, and along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. You see, when fear gets the better of us, we become negative. And when we are negative, and we open our mouths, what comes out?
Negativity.
Malice.
Exactly. Bitterness. Have you ever seen someone that, when you just, from what they see, like, hey, this one is bitter. Bitterness is in the, it's in their abode. The person lives in bitterness, not bitterness is in them. They live inside it. That's what fear produces. We become negative, which means whatever it is that we say does not build up people. Whatever we say does not encourage. All right? And when that happens, we grieve the Holy Spirit that's inside of us. Because the Holy Spirit is like, why are you saying all these things? Hit me! Leave me out. Say what I want to say. It's just very interesting when people fall away. I find it interesting. They fall away and then they're given to just all manner of wickedness.
Right.
And they think, almost like, oh, I'm going to pay you back and make you show you that I can do all kinds of wickedness. And I'm supposed to feel bad. I'm like, ah. If you want to do this sort of words, I'll be like, oh my goodness. I was trying to keep her away from wickedness, and look at what she has done now. I was trying to keep me away from just, you know, doing all these bad things. Oh, now I feel sad that I'm doing all these bad things. No. I'm filled with pity for you.
Come on, bro.
Because I don't get hurt. The only person that gets hurt is you.
That's right.
You know? But you see, and that was very shocked me. Almost like they're trying to prove a point that living according to God's word is now... Is what?
Richard. Oh, bro.
You know, people start posting inappropriate stuff online. You start posting all this stuff with cuss word online and whatnot. You post this and you post that, you know, and then you start using the languages that you know that were not the right things to use. You start using them, and somebody feel like, hey, you know, you see, you can't do anything to me. Am I the one that has issues here?
Talk about it, bro.
No, it's not. But you see, when fear gets the better of us, we become negative, which means whatever we say will not build up or encourage, and that gives the Holy Spirit. But instead of giving into fear, we need to deal with it. We need to deal with it and whatever it produces in us. You see, fear produces all of these things that I mentioned here: bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. You tell me one negative person that you know that is kind. Tell me one pessimistic person you know. Many persons so kind. If only they would just learn how to talk. There isn't any.
That's so true.
You see, we have to get rid of whatever it is. We have to get rid of, instead of giving to fear, we have to get rid of it. We have to deal with it. And whatever it produces in us, so that we can have the same heart that Christ did.
Amen.
So we can have the same heart that Christ had for us.
Amen.
You think that you think Jesus would have gone to the cross if he had bitterness in his heart?
Amen.
You think he would have stayed on the cross?
No.
He was angry at those that were insulting him?
Absolutely
not. No. But that really is the third point here. You have to remember, when fear wins, you have to remember God's promises.
Mm.
You have to remember that Jesus is still Lord of all.
Mm.
Right? His message doesn't become less just because you give in to your fear. His power hasn't reduced, you know, because you allowed fear to win.
Mm.
You have to remember that God, Jesus is still Lord in that situation.
Mm.
And you also have to remember that you have the Holy Spirit as a disciple, as a baptized disciple of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
In closing here, I'll reference 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. Now I'm referencing it because the version I'm going to read is not the NIV, it's the NKJV, the New King James Version. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says, in the New King James, it says, For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of, sorry, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of a spirit of fear, God has given us the spirit of power. He has given us power, he has given us love, and a sound mind. A mind that is not easily given into anxiety, that is not easily given into doubt. From outside. That's not easily given into doubt. I remind you again, God never made us to be afraid.
Mm.
He never made us allow fear to win.
Mm-hmm.
That was not his intention for us. And I close out with a quote here by John Donne. John Donne is a 16th century English writer and Anglican cleric.
Mm.
And this is what he said. He said, "As he that fears God fears nothing else, so he that sees God sees nothing else." Let's live in accordance with God's word and his will for our lives. To God be the glory.
Amen.
Yes. So, look at that. Cranking. But yeah, that's our lesson for today, family. You know, because really, I think everyone here, one way or another, can relate to fear.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and maybe there's probably been times when we allow that fear to control us.
Mm.